I can buy DragonTickle.me. Should I get that?
DragonTickle.me.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's pretty good.
It would instantly get more hits than nerdappropriate.com.
Oh.
Everyone's like, how do you spell appropriate? How many P's are in appropriate?
All right, welcome to Rated NA, the podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. I am your host, Matt, along with Scott and Ash, and we're here to bring you episode 180.
Howdy.
180 is my lucky number.
Yeah. So, this is not the 180 that we promised.
Yeah,
but
it means you're going to turn it all around, boy.
Whoa.
Okay.
Like a 180?
Yeah, like a 180. Get it?
Yeah.
No, I got it. Yeah, that's pretty clear. This is not, if you're a close follower, this might not be the 180 you expect, but we pulled a 180 on you and
Whoa.
Did something new.
This, the real 180 is still coming. Actually, you know, guys, I have to tell you, it's my fault that 180 isn't what it's supposed to be. See, I did not collect enough Fleur Spar in Nugskin, and therefore I could not craft the correct episode 180. So once I collect all of those items,
Between the pre-roll you singing Ariana Grande and whatever just came out of your mouth, I have no idea what's happening right now.
Yeah.
All right.
Are those You'll things? See. Are those you, real things?
Those are real things, are they not?
No, they are.
I didn't just make that up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Still crafting. Okay. Don't worry. I just need 3 more Elfruit, and then I'll be ready to go.
I feel like I'm having a seizure, and no one else. I don't know. Like, you guys can't see me, so you can't save me right now. I don't know what's happening.
It's right. been like 2 weeks, and
it's
I've been.
Dan.
I've just been saving up a lot, man.
Saving up the Delfruit?
Saving it all up.
Good deal.
Good deal.
Let's do the rundown.
I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about Dragon Age. I played Tales from the Borderlands, Episode 1, which is Zero Sum from Telltale Games. There's a Star Wars trailer. I don't know if anyone heard. It's just a little thing that was on the internet. So we'll talk about our holiday shenanigans. We'll talk about what we bought this weekend for Super Sale. Matt played Kingdom Rush Origins. He's got the Amazon Fire Stick, which I'm jealous. And I'm sure there'll be some other shenanigans, too.
Shenanigans!
Like singing.
Oh boy.
Episode. Sorry, guys.
Well, this episode is brought to you once again by Loot Crate. Loot Crate's the monthly subscription service where you can pay a little bit of money and get an awesome box full of stuff to your house every month. And you can head over to lootcrate.com/ratedNA and save 10% by using the code ratedNA. And in the process, you help the podcast out a little. We already know some of you have signed up, and we really thank you for it. But we aren't lying. It's actually pretty awesome stuff. We got can I spoil it? Yeah, we're way past time spoiling it.
Yeah.
We got like a Mega Man helmet this time, and the shirt was this like Pirates versus Ninja shirt, and it was pretty badass. And like their exclusive shirts are always like super nice quality too. Have you noticed that, Ash?
I do like them a lot. I actually wear them too.
Yeah, me too. It's worth the $20 for the shirt alone, but then the exclusive toys along with the exclusive items and all this other stuff that you get in the mail. So it's pretty awesome. Head over to lootcrate.com/ratedNA and save 10% with the code ratedNA. And when we have the December Ben, we will let you know.
I have
what
the secrets. You want to know what it is?
Do it.
It's anniversary, because it's the Loot Crate anniversary. So they're going to have special anniversary themed stuff. So
awesome.
I don't know exactly what that is, but the main theme for the December crate is anniversary.
I'm
so.
Assuming it's the band from the early 2000s, right?
Moog keyboards and some classic indie rock.
I don't think you guys are right.
No?
Oh.
I mean, that band is pretty good, actually. It would be. They should just put one of their albums in there. I think that would be.
Do you want to sing anything for us, Scott?
No. I can't. I don't actually remember the real lyrics because there were some songs that I made lyrics up to.
Right.
Yeah, so I can't even. I'm totally out. I basically just copied the Moog parts in our band, so.
That's true.
Yeah. What are you going
to
do?
If you ever want to know what the anniversary sounded like, go listen to our band or vice versa. Not the later band, the earlier band.
The earlier
band.
Yeah.
Hey, Ash, I think you know what, I know what you're going to say, but what did you do this past week?
Well, guys, I entered a deep, dark place known as the World of Thedas. And I played so much Dragon Age that I didn't even know what day it was. I had many days off for work for what they call Thanksgiving break. And normally, in normal relationships, your significant other often does not really allow mass amounts of game time to occur due to real life responsibilities. However, I'm lucky because my wife is a big fan of Dragon Age. And as soon as she,
air quotes.
Yes, lucky with air quotes. But as soon as she plugged it in, she was enthralled as well. So I played about, I don't know, many hours of Dragon Age.
Well, I'll tell you what. On Tuesday, which was the 28th, I sent you a text message because we can compare stats on Xbox One. So I sent you a screenshot of your playtime at the time, which was last Tuesday. Today's the December 1st, by the way.
Yeah.
212 hours for you so far.
Yeah,
I've probably gone way over that now, too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's been, what, like 5 days since then? 4 days?
Yeah, so I beat the game over Thanksgiving break. As the credits rolled, I rebooted the game, and then I started another playthrough. And now I'm about three-quarters of the way through the game again.
There you go. There you go.
That being said, addiction aside and psychosis aside, phenomenal game. Absolutely wonderful experience. Loving the exploration. Loving the crafting. You know, there's a lot of really, really in-depth character moments. And, you know, it's probably honestly one of the best RPGs I've ever played. And I've played a lot of them. So they did a really great job with it. It is probably also, as you can tell by the sick amount of time I played, one of the most addicting games ever. It has a lot of very MMO, has a lot of MMO qualities, which is, this is why I quit MMOs, guys. This was me for like a year with MMOs. So, you know, the collecting, the exploration, character advancement, you know, progression, specking, all that kind of stuff exists in this game, to the nth degree. And it's all done very, very well. But, yeah, really enjoying it. You know, I played through my first playthrough as a human warrior. I started off with a two-handed spec and then moved over to Sword and Shield and absolutely fell in love with Sword and Shield because it was kind of how I always wanted to tank in a game. You know, it was very you actually had a sense of power with a Sword and Shield, really, for the first time, because most of the time you just become a damage sponge. But with Inquisition, you actually are dealing a fair amount of DPS and, you know, being able to wade into a group of enemies and just like take tons and tons of damage and dish it all was just a ton of fun. And eventually go up and be able to like tickle dragons was really fun too. So that was great. And then tickle them with a bladed implement.
Nothing like what I thought it was.
It's dragontickle.com. The other playthrough I did an elf.
Hold
version.
On, I'm buying a URL.
Dragon tickle. Do you guys know what a pizzle is?
No,
I don't.
A pizzle, Google it, audience. It's something really terrible. It just reminded me of, like, sorry?
Somebody owns dragontickle.com.
Oh, womp womp.
Dreams are crushed. Dreams are crushed.
It's probably fanfic, you know?
It is probably fanfic. Second playthrough, I'm playing as an elf, which I've never done in a game ever in my life. And it's different. Really cool. They did a great job of making your character's race and, you know, class actually impact the storyline, which is really phenomenal. So people acknowledge that you're an elf and treat you differently, and you have different dialogue options based on your elfhood. So really cool stuff.
I can buy dragontickle.me. Should I get that?
Dragontickle.me.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's pretty good.
It would instantly get more hits than nerdappropriate.com.
Oh.
Everyone's like, how do you spell appropriate? How many P's are in appropriate? I'm like, oh, fucking shit. Matt, what have you been up to?
That's how we guarantee that our listeners and friends are of a certain level of thinking before they can come to our site.
That's the barrier for our audience. You have to be able to spell word appropriate.
Spell appropriate.
Oh, boy.
What if we misspelled it this whole time? How terrible would that be?
Yeah. Nobody, no one has the heart to tell us. Like.
Oh, man.
I did a bunch of stuff. I've been my work schedule's calmed down, so I actually got a lot of things to do. And I watched some movies. I watched the Lego Movie for the first time, which was fun. I enjoyed it as a movie. It's not. I think there was a lot of hype going into it, and I don't know that it lives up to that level of hype necessarily. But it was It was good. Like, it's very enjoyable. It's a fun movie. And the animation in it is unbelievable. Like,
yeah.
I know it's all plastic and that's easier to pull off than, like, real people. But still, the way they shot it, the way they did it to make it look like it was stop motion and, like, how they did certain things, I just thought it was really brilliantly done. I thought it was pretty amazing. And then funny and stuff, too. You know, of course, dreamy Chris Pratt was in it, so.
Dreamy Chris Pratt.
And then I watched, guys, I watched the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie from the 80s again.
Yes, the original, like number one, right?
The original one. Yeah. The number one first. It's good.
It's dark, man.
It's
some
a good
dark
movie,
parts.
Though.
Yeah.
Like, it's really not a bad movie. It's not like, you know, we all jokingly love, or not joke, I legitimately do love the movie Hackers, but I do also recognize the fact that it is a terrible movie. If you just watch it, it's kind of just hokey and stupid. But the original Turtles movie is like, it's got a decent story and the acting's pretty good in it. And like, it's super dark, but there's good action scenes and like the all the special effects. Because I think it's all Frank Oz, right? Wasn't it all who did the turtle heads?
Muppet Studio?
The Henson, yeah, Henson Company.
Yeah.
Henson Studio, yeah. Like all the effects are awesome, mostly because they're all real. And I think that's kind of cool and not done as much anymore. But it was really fun. It was just like a fun movie to watch. I threw it on with Melissa, I think, on the day after Thanksgiving, like Friday night, and we were watching. I was like, I forget how good this movie. I used to watch it religiously. I was saying lines without. I have not seen this movie in a long time, and I was saying lines out loud along with the movie while it was happening. And I was like, I watched this way too much as a kid.
It's amazing,
but it was awesome.
My favorite line is when Raphael, he has like that New York cabbie accent.
Yeah,
and he goes, I lost a sigh. That's for some reason that stuck with me for like my entire life. I still remember vividly. He loses his sigh at the beginning of the movie. He's like, I lost a sigh.
That sounds like
an old grandma.
The guy who voices Raphael is actually in the movie as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's in the cab when the cab like pulls up on the turtles. I think is what happens.
Dang.
And they shoot a scene where the cabbie says something to the passenger. The passenger is Raphael, the guy who voices Raphael.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't think he was the actual actor in the suit, but he was the guy who voiced him.
Right.
So, a little fun fact for you all.
Okay.
I also did a ton of mobile gaming, and I'm going to talk about one of them, which is the new Kingdom Rush game is out. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. Also, Two Dots. Have you guys played that?
Is that like Two Chains?
It's like Two Chains. It's just a rap. It's just a rap
wow.
game.
I'm going to pick it up right this second.
No. Did you guys play Dots, which is one of the best toilet games ever created?
Yeah, I did play Dots.
Is that like Domino's Dots?
What?
Is that like Domino's Dots?
What is Domino's Dots, Ash?
Remember those things? Those delicious Domino's Dots? They're
like
flavor-filled.
Dots?
Yeah, like Dippin' Dots.
Yeah.
I don't remember those. Were they pizza flavored?
They're like dough with like goo inside.
Boy. I don't remember that, but that's not what Two Dots is either. No.
Okay.
Two Dots is actually, if you took Domino's Dots and mixed them with Two Chains, it's a wrapping piece of pizza.
Why aren't we our own game company?
Wow. Wrapping pizza. That's brilliant. Why wasn't Parappa the Rappa just a piece of pizza?
Wow.
All right.
So anyways, Two Dots.
Two Dots is the second incarnation of the game Dots.
Nice.
More focused on like gameplay. So there's actually stuff to do. There's like challenges. Every level's like more of a challenge as opposed to just constantly trying to erase dots and seeing how high you can get.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually like a set of challenges and levels that you can progress through. And
oh, that's cool.
So it's fun. It's a little bit more like something to do as
it's
opposed
like fleshed
to
out.
Yeah, yeah. And then Hearthstone, of course, and then still Ridiculous Fishing, which for anybody out there who has played Ridiculous Fishing, I only have 3 fish left to catch, period, in the game.
Damn.
I have every single fish in the game, and I'm really proud of it, and I actually really love the game, and it's pretty amazing. I used to play it on my iPad, and I never played very long. I've discovered that the phone is really – it's like the forte. It's that game's forte on the phone, like – it fits well.
It's like everybody is absolutely in love with like Lambier who made that game.
Yeah.
And like you know, he basically sets the bar for like indie and mobile stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Like
Lambier does.
A lot of their games are pretty top notch, and Ridiculous Fishing is definitely there. Played a ton of Halo. I figured out why my save got erased.
Okay, what happened?
And this happened to me on the 360 version of this game as well, and I completely forgot that I did this. The game doesn't autosave every few seconds or anything.
No, it's... I'm sure it's the same way, but like Halo has weird checkpoints that you have to walk through, and then sometimes when you walk through them, they don't trigger.
Correct. Yes. And also, if the game restarts, if you completely quit out of the game, I believe it progresses you back to the beginning of whatever chapter you're on.
Oh boy.
Oh.
I believe is what happened, because I've noticed that you can save and quit and it'll put you right back where you were, but if you don't save and quit, it seems to bump you all the way back.
I see. So they're like temporary checkpoints.
Yeah, it was problem between, you know, controller and
couch
chair. Yeah. And not the other way around. So, but anyways, been playing a ton of that, still really love it. I've been playing on hard and not legendary, but it's still very hard. I forgot how hard the first one is.
You have to be like extremely patient in Halo to play on like a higher difficulty level.
Yeah, and I also read something, I don't remember who posted it, but somebody was writing about the game and talking about like that it's good, you know, it's fun to play again. Mm-hmm. And the point they made was that the up-resing in 1 and 2 actually breaks a few things in the game. And one of them is when you go up against invisible guys, they are 100% invisible. It is obnoxious to fight them.
Oh.
Like, you can't find them. They'll come out of nowhere and just hit you, and you're like, oh, okay, cool. And it bumps you like all the way back to the beginning of wherever you were, last checkpoint or whatever. It's terrible. Like, not terrible. It's terrible, terribly frustrating every time it happens, essentially.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun if you like take them out. You feel great about it. But you can actually flip back into the old, because it's seamless, like switching back and forth between the old view and the up-res view.
Oh, okay.
It's 100% seamless. You hit a button and you're in the old view like immediately. There's no lag or change or loading.
It's crazy.
Interesting.
And if you switch into that, you can actually see them a little easier and kill them and then just switch back into the high-res view.
Hey, like, whatever.
Yeah, it works. I played a little Destiny. I also was going to say that playing this game has made me realize that I too, Scott, if Mass Effect got put out as an up-res trilogy, like six set, I would buy it in a heartbeat. There's probably a few games I think I would do that, like, without question. I think, like, even if, honestly, if they had done it with Dragon Age, I probably would have bought all three for Xbox One.
That'd be sweet.
Mm-hmm. I'd love that.
Still want it for Dead Space.
Yeah, I don't know. There's certain games that I think just set a bar that you can replay and not feel like you're playing the oldest game ever created, you know, or like a crappy version of something that's out now. And I think those games are definitely like of that world.
Absolutely.
Played a little Destiny again. It is really fun. And I wrote you guys that like as a joke, I think. I said, hey, just played Destiny. Did you guys know this game was fun?
Yeah. It's next Tuesday. Some DLC comes out.
Yep.
Yeah. I think I'm, if I can get through the first Halo game, I might bounce into Destiny for a little while. They're very difficult to go between because they're really similar but slightly different in control.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like weird to make that mental switch over and over again. But
apparently they changed the way that exotic weapons work, or legendary weapons.
That's what I heard.
I was reading about it today, yeah.
Yeah, you don't need like Ascendant shards to upgrade the purple weapons anymore. You just need to, it's like the last thing you need. I don't know. So that's the thing with, and somebody made this comment in one of the posts, is that the thing with MMOs is that they become easier over time because you need to balance things out for new players. Otherwise, no one will ever start playing.
Have you seen that WoW just gives you like top level now? Like,
yeah, you can become level 90.
You become level 90 immediately.
Yeah.
And Sweater was like running a promotion where you could get 12 times XP, like in, you know, as a preview to the new expansion.
Who
that's
cares?
Coming out.
You know, like, just come on, just play.
Right.
I mean, no, honestly, I'm not kidding. Like, all they want you to do is be in the game playing. They don't really care what level you are, you know? Doesn't matter. There's no win for them to make you level up.
Yeah. If I had infinite time, you know?
The final thing that I did this is what I actually want to talk about, which I feel like I moved through those other ones relative quick enough to get into this, but I binged season 3 of Game of Thrones one night.
Wow.
Tore through 6 episodes.
Yow.
And finished the season. Mostly because I knew Red Wedding was coming up, and I didn't know when. And that's the thing that every person on the planet talked about. And I was like, I knew. I mean, you get the gist of it. I had managed to not get it spoiled.
Wow. Oh, good.
That's impressive.
I've had a lot of things spoiled in the show, but I never had Red Wedding spoiled as to what happens. So I guess I should preface this that if you somehow are worse at watching TV than me, or at least this show than me, you should like stop listening for a minute, because I'm going to 100% spoil everything that's in this for a second.
Okay.
So like spoiler alert for season 3 of Game of Thrones, which they're on season 5 now. So if you like me have not heard this information yet, then congratulations. I don't know how you did it either, but
yeah,
you know, I'm going to spoil it. So the whole season is building up King Rob, right?
Yeah. Mm.
Season 3 really is a focus on Tyrion, Rob. God, there's so many fucking people. Jaime and with Brienne of Tarth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who else is like a focus? I would really say those four are like the appear. Jon Snow too. They actually brought him back into the show and did some things with him, as opposed to season 2 where they were just like, put him in the snow and then like walked away.
Right.
So that seems to be what the lead up of the story is, right? And I get it. Game of Thrones, their whole shtick is killing people. Like, and I know you guys have heard me complain about this a billion times, that I think it's a cheap crutch for a TV show just to kill characters as like a hook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the killing everyone, I guess I can maybe get around spoiler talk a little bit. Killing everyone that they did in Red Wedding just felt like a giant reset button to me. Like, man, yeah. Okay, we're done with that storyline. Let's move on. And I don't understand why that was considered good or great looking at it now. And I don't know if you guys can look back at that moment. And
I think it was the brutality of it.
So it was more just what happened and not
the
necessarily
brutality and just how tragic it was, because it from every traditional story, you know, you have a main protagonist, you have a hero, and that, you know, in the Game of Thrones universe is the Stark family. And they start off by murdering Ned Stark, who you think is the main protagonist of the whole story. Then right. It shifts, and then you're like, okay, well, now we're dealing with the Stark children and their survival and what's going on. Like, okay, Rob is obviously going to get revenge for his father's death. Like, that's what the show is about. It's about Rob becoming the king. And they're like, oh, fuck it, Rob's dead. Now you're like, okay, now what is this world about? It's like, now is it about the kids getting revenge for the death of their brother, or is it about revenge at all? So it does. It is a reset button, but I think that's what makes it so fascinating. He tried to create a living, breathing fantasy world that's like completely fucked up, but one that really makes you kind of examine or at least like destroy the traditional tropes of fantasy, where there's not going to be a hero. Maybe there is, you know, maybe the bad guys are the good guys. Maybe the Lannisters are right. You know what I mean?
So you don't feel like this has become the new trope of storytelling, just killing characters left and right? Like, I mean, I can name a handful of shows that do it.
No,
right?
And part of it is for ratings, and ratings equal money. And part of it is to create those big water cooler moments that people are like, oh, fucking Red Wedding, you know. But I think, you know, part of it also beyond that, because I know that's obviously a huge part of it. Part of it is also trying to create a world that is terrifying for viewers to watch, because you can watch a show like, let's say, Supernatural, which is on season 10. And, you know, they're just not going to fucking slit Dean Jacoby, or whatever the fuck his name is, they're not going to just slit his throat and have him not be on the show anymore. You know, because it's
sure,
not.
But I mean, also that's part of that is that there's two characters in Supernatural and there's 79 in Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
like,
no, that's
true. They could literally kill half the cast and still have 20 people to talk about in that show. It's insane how many people are in it. Yeah. But I understand that point. I agree. To me, it just feels like it's become this way of making gripping drama, you know, or like gripping storytelling.
Yeah.
And it annoys me to an extent, because a lot of the things, like, not that this ruins anything, but if you read The Expanse, like, people die, but not in a sense where it's like, ooh, gotcha. Like, there's none of that bullshit. And to me, it's just really annoying. And like, what really annoyed me about it was that previous to that binge watching, I was telling you guys how much I was enjoying season 3, because
mm-hmm.
I felt like, you know, yes, Ned Stark, that death didn't annoy me as much. Like, I might have complained about it back then just because of this thing of like this trope that I feel like I'm dealing with in show after show after show.
Yeah.
But like, really, his death did, like you said, open up the story to being a story about the family and not about Ned Stark, right? Because originally it was just like all him, and the kids were kind of all secondary. And this is now, it was like, oh, all the kids have to grow up and learn how to start dealing with things, you know, all because nobody knows what's going to happen anymore, kids wise. And then, like, as the show progresses and they start killing more characters and moving more things forward, you're kind of like, it gets tiresome, a little fatiguing sort of. And season three felt like they had moved a lot of that. They had gotten, although there's still like an insane amount of gratuitous sex in the show, it felt like they had gotten past using that as a hook, as a crutch. It felt like they had gotten past killing people as a crutch. Instead, what they were doing was making really great storytelling with Jaime and Brienne of Tarth.
I love that story, yeah.
It's such a great story. I think Arya's story is really great. To an extent, if you can get past her, not as an actress, she's a good actress, but get past her character, I think Sansa's story is remotely interesting.
Yeah.
Daenerys has a great, interesting story. They were really like telling good stories. And then, like, it's all this build up to this one episode, which they do every season. I know the 9th episode of every season, something off the wall happens. And then the 10th episode is them just, like, quietly wrapping up storylines so they can get to the next season.
Yeah, yeah.
But it just really felt forced and overdone and, like, not needed. It just felt like, I mean, I'm sure they're going to use it in the oncoming story, but it just felt like such a weird, like, oh, Tywin won. And you're like, what? He's like, yep, he won. He got his way. And you're like, okay. That wasn't even like, they weren't even there yet. Like, that wasn't even part, like, there was no conflict there to me yet because they were still just two dudes sitting in two rooms. Not that they needed to kill each other, but, like, they were still so remote from each other that it didn't even feel worthwhile. It felt, like, completely pointless. It just was like, oh, okay, they're dead. Great.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess we'll all wait to see what. And then I read an article like after that, and it said the most obnoxious thing to me, which is like, well, the real story is about Sansa, Arya, and Bran. And I'm like, well, then they need to move the real story along because those are three of the most boring stories on the TV show. They're terrible. Bran, I don't even know what the fuck is happening with his character right now. He's getting carted around by Hodor and like, now I need to go over here. Now I need to go over here. Why? Because I had a dream. Okay, cool.
What? It gets a little D&D campaign-ish with him. But yeah, I mean, season four, it does definitely open up the kid stories a lot because it has to, you know? It's like, well, who are you going to focus on the Stark side? So it's all about the kids in the future episodes. So,
and then, like, I don't know. The whole, I'm like so torn with that show because I do love fantasy. I love settings like that. I don't even mind this like overblown way too many characters thing. It's not my favorite thing in the world. I tend to like things that seem more focused, but it's good. Like when I watch the ones that I like I said, the Jaime and Brianna stuff was amazing. That stuff was fantastic. Like all the way through the season, his story arc, Jaime's, is like spot on. And I feel like, you know, no matter what they do with him, even through the ups and downs, I think it's pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just sorry. I didn't mean to go on a super long tangent.
No, no, no.
I finished it and I was like, what the fuck? Like, I literally finished that episode.
And
I was like,
it's a fascinating
show. I still also argue, though, that if you just ran into George R. R. Martin and he started telling you what he wanted to write books about, and I feel like you'd be like, nope, what? That's not. You have some weird fantasies going on in your brain, sir. So, there you go. That's my tie up. Scott, what were you been up to this week?
I don't know how to follow that. It was kind of a rant a little bit.
I just can't. It's just frustrating to me at times. I want it to be more to my liking, I guess, than it is. So it frustrates me.
That's what it is. But we've now talked about it for 8 minutes. So I think that they've accomplished their goal, right? Because
I
emotion.
I don't feel like that was a ringing endorsement in any way for that show.
Yeah, but one emotion, one way or another. Like any valence, positive or negative, is right. No,
yeah, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Any press is good press, something like that, right?
Yeah,
anyways,
especially booty press.
So what did I do? I took a break from Dragon Age because I was, unlike Ash, I was overwhelmed. So I decided to take a step back and do some other things. So. I got an opportunity to review Tales from the Borderlands, episode 1, and I really enjoyed it, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Watched a couple of movies, because I don't go to the theater, so my wife and I are catching up on some movies that we did not see. We watched Maleficent, which I really liked. I thought it's Angelina Jolie. She's great, right, in that film. Have you guys seen it?
Melissa liked that one, too. It's also got a, what's her name, right? Keep going. I'll think of her name.
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't know, but I didn't really know what it was. I mean, I knew what it was. I knew what the story was, but I didn't really know how that would be told and shown, and I didn't really know anything about the film going into it. And I thought it was really great. I had a really good time watching. It's gorgeous, by the way. The effects are really spectacular in that film.
Elle Fanning was who I was thinking of.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. So I also came to the realization that for all of the ups and downs and all of the complaining that I do about it, I realize that I still like Assassin's Creed. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm just going to continue to play them because I enjoy playing them. And yeah. I'm in this weird minority that really likes the stuff that happens in the real world, you know?
You are really in the minority.
Because
they're doing everything in their power to remove those from the game.
I know. But, like, in my mind, that is what the story of the game is, right? You know, is, like, what is happening in the modern time between the Assassins and the Templars. And everything else is just some goon at Abstergo sitting in a chair, like, doing research for the company, right? That's all it is, right?
So, yeah.
I got on Super Sale Assassin's Creed Freedom Cry, which I never played. So I started with that, played through it in like one day, and it was great. What's the name, the main character? Is that Adewale?
Adewale, yeah.
He is great. Have you guys played Freedom Cry?
I played about half of it.
Yeah. That's a good story, and I really like him as a character, just because I think with some of these later games, they're kind of bringing on these characters that are still sort of a part of this Assassin's Creed, if you will. But they are also struggling with other things that are like happening in their life. And they are exposed to situations that sort of question their priorities, I guess, and their convictions. So I thought Freedom Cry was great. And probably what made it so great is that it was shorter. And sometimes you need to play a short open world game, you know, as opposed to a standard Assassin's Creed game where there's like 500 collectibles and everything, and there's just so much stuff to do. This kind of reined all that into a very compact experience, which I thought was nice. And then I moved on to Assassin's Creed Rogue, and I
dusted off the old console, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of just want to knock these out. Like, I want to play them because I know that I will at some point. And there was a sale over the weekend. And, you know, like, this game is sort of getting beat up in the media just because people say that it's got a lot of recycled material in it. They do recycle material, right? So it's got elements of Assassin's Creed 3. It's got elements of Assassin's Creed 4. You know, it's got the ship combat.
Yeah. A lot of the old gen assets in there.
Yeah, some of the terrain, like, you know, you recognize that same tree that you can climb up and run on, but you know, despite all of that, if you can look at this game in a vacuum, I think this game is actually pretty good. As soon as you put the disc in the machine, it basically installs like a gig to the hard drive. And then everything after that, basically this game runs like the AC3 engine, like on steroids. It's crazy. Like, I don't think AC4, AC3 on this console looked as good as this game does or ran as fast as it did.
Huh.
Like, this game, I think, runs at a higher frame rate than those other games and at a sort of a higher resolution. I read something like they were able to push the hardware to the limit where they could like increase the draw distance inside of the game, but it is gorgeous. So played a couple of hours of that. And, you know, I get that anxiety, like, oh my God, there's so much stuff to do and so much to collect. But, you know, I remind myself.
You must have, like, lost your mind with Inquisition because there's literally a billion things.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why I had to take a break because I look at that war map and I'm like, what am I supposed to do now, you know?
Yeah.
I have a question real quick. Is Rogue the new one that came out?
No, Unity is the one on.
No, not the new one, but didn't it? It's pretty recent on 360, right?
Yeah, Rogue and Unity came out at the same time. Freedom Cry was DLC for Black Flag.
Black Flag.
But I never finished it. So
yeah.
So I did pick up Rogue and I did start playing it. Thankfully, the ship is much faster and it turns on a dime, which is great. So
cool.
I know you, Ash, you really like the ship combat, and this ship
is. It's fun.
Yeah, this ship.
Although I'm going to wait for the inevitable release on current gen consoles for Rogue.
Yeah, I know
they will do that to me.
You know, currently they are being coy about like, well, you know, no plans at this time or whatever. But I feel like I can't play Unity before finishing Rogue because I think in the chronological series of events. I think Rogue comes before Unity.
It does?
I think in terms of the like Abstergo timeline.
Oh.
And actually, like,
I was like, what?
Yeah.
But now I got you. Yeah.
Yeah, and when you in Rogue, there's actually an old Adewale, like an older Adewale, and you know, like part of the game, the game part of it starts out on the plantation from Assassin's Creed 3, which is interesting to see.
Oh, cool.
But you do, there is a sequence where like you, it's really weird. There's a sequence where you go into the real world and you're like back in that Abstergo building, you know, from the previous game.
Yeah.
And you pick up like a document and you read it and it makes a reference to Assassin's Creed Unity as a game that is coming out the following year. So I don't know if that's like actually like, hey, these games are supposed to be 1 year apart, or like, hey, in this fantasy world, these games are 2 year, you know, 1 year apart. But that's how I know that one follows the other.
Because
I love that stuff and I read all that shit. Yeah, right? Yeah. The other thing that my wife and I have been doing is that we put up our Christmas decorations, right?
Yeah.
And my wife has been watching like all of the awful holiday movies on Netflix, which is awesome. I mean, I shouldn't say they're not all awful. They're not awful. They're just like, hey, I've never heard of that movie before. Like, you know, it's all stuff that's on like ABC Family or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so we've been watching
Scrooged and.
Yeah. No, we haven't been watching like the old classics. We've been watching like ABC Family. So, for example, we watched one movie called Dear Santa, which has Amy Acker in it.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
Yeah. And, you know, she's looking for love, you guys, because it's a Christmas movie, right? So that was good. And then we also watched a movie called Holiday in Handcuffs, which is an ABC Family movie from 2007 starring Mario Lopez and Melissa Joan Hart. So, I mean, if anybody's looking for that caliber of holiday movie, I would highly recommend Dear Santa and Holiday in Handcuffs.
I watched Saved by the Bell the other day.
So you watch what?
Saved by the Bell.
There you go. See? And everybody loves Melissa Joan Hart, right?
Holiday in Handcuffs.
Yeah.
Melissa Joan Hart's Clarissa, right?
Clarissa explains it all, of course.
What did your wife say once, Ash? Clarissa explains everything?
Clarissa explains everything. Like, what is that?
That's a way different show. That's like the Canadian version of Clarissa Explains It All, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. That's the first thing that came to mind. Anyways.
Go ahead. No, Clarissa knows it all, is what she said.
Clarissa knows it all. And then the last thing that I wanted to talk about is I wanted to preview an article that I'm writing for the website about Dragon Age multiplayer.
Cool.
So I put together, you know, I did this when Mass Effect 3 came out. I put together sort of like five things to keep in mind and when you're getting started in Mass Effect 3. You know, and about strategies for playing and like being a good team player and stuff like that. So I wrote a similar list of things to keep in mind for Dragon Age multiplayer, because when you're starting out, it's difficult. It's very challenging to play. It's easy for your entire team to get wiped out very quickly. And then you kind of are left wondering what happens. So put together some things that I think might help somebody starting out. And I also put a little encouragement in there for people to back out of their game to the main menu and click on the button that says multiplayer on the main menu, not the one that says continue on the main menu, because there's actually a separate portion to the game. I don't know if you guys know this, right? On the main menu, it says like continue, new game, settings, extras, multiplayer, right? That's an entirely different game mode.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Ash, do you know about this?
What?
Yeah, so
all I see is continue forever.
Yeah, so I provide a little gentle encouragement.
Ash doesn't even see continue because his screen just stays on pause when he's
That's true. That's true.
It's paused right now.
He's unsure what the main menu is that you're talking about right now.
Yeah, right.
He hasn't seen it. He hasn't seen it in 343 hours.
Yeah. Right. So, with that in mind, I am simultaneously encouraging people to try the multiplayer. And also join us in the multiplayer so that I don't have to play with randos.
You know what else we're all into?
What's that?
News. Star Wars.
Hey.
Star Wars.
Now, real quick, is anybody, nobody's internet angry, right, about this trailer? you guys, no, in amongst the three of us, right?
Oh, amongst the three of us? No,
yes.
Not at all.
Okay, good.
All right. It looks sweet.
On Black Friday, not only was there shopping to be had, but there was a new Star Wars trailer to be watched.
Yep. Just, what is it, 88 seconds? That's all you get?
Yeah. This is like a teaser for a trailer, I feel like.
It is.
We're in that zone right now of this thing.
The movie's over a year away.
It's kind of, yeah. Which, although, say that again in a different tone, the movie's only a year away.
Hey, yeah, you could say it that way too.
It's going to be a good year for movies next year.
I know, right? So much money going to the movie theater. So it's kind of five montage scenes, or it's a montage of five scenes, if you will, like little vignettes of things that are happening in the world, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we learn some things, sort of.
Yeah, I mean, we get a good look at the new Stormtroopers.
New Stormtroopers.
Fucking cool, I think. I love the new helmet design. I think they look great. They kind of show you, it looks like they're exiting some sort of dropship, military style, and it just looks incredible. Looks like they're kind of, you know, X-vacking into like some sort of war zone or something. So that looked really, really cool.
We got sort of a rear-end look at a Sith, if you will, walking down the street.
Yeah.
And he pulls out his Jedi, or he pulls out his lightsaber. I was going to say where Jedi came from. Pulls out his lightsaber, and it has extra blades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of.
You guys okay with that?
I'm totally fine with it. Like, within 30 seconds of that being on the internet, there were already, like, memes of it.
Yeah.
Literally. Like, the trailer came out, and then I, like, hit refresh on Twitter, and somebody had already drawn, like, the craziest shit popping out of that sword. And I'm like, it really isn't that bad, guys.
I did see one humorous gif of, like, all the different scenes of people, like, pulling their lightsaber out. And then they, like, jokingly made them all super weird and, like, crazy.
Sure.
And, like, Yoda's, like, shot up green and then, like, drew a Yoda face in green around it. And then, like...
like a balloon Darth Maul, animal? Like,
Darth Maul. Yeah, exactly. Darth Maul, like, shoots his one saber out, you know? And then, like, two more shoot up from there, and then the other side shoots out, and two more shoot from that one. Like, there's one where Windu's, like, turns into four blades, and I was like, all right, as long as we can all have a sense of humor. I didn't hate it, though. I thought that's fine.
Yeah.
In my version of this magical space world, I don't mind if they have two extra blades on top of the, or exhaust ports, or whatever they might be.
I was actually more confused that it was skinny than it was having extra blades.
Yeah, somebody pointed out, I didn't even realize this when I was watching like nerd conspiracy videos. One of the guys was like, this seems like a blade that's like completely uncontrolled. Like it's like really like, like it looks like fire almost if you rewatch it. It doesn't look like any other lightsabers we've ever seen before. So,
yeah. And I don't know why, on that note, as far as freaking out goes, like this is the only one we've seen. That's not like all the other ones work that way. It's not like, Luke is going to show up and be like, hey, check it out. I built this like skinny one, you know,
like a curly Q lightsaber.
Yeah. I'm sure there will still be regular lightsabers, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that we're okay, guys. I think they're still going to have regular lightsabers. My favorite scene was the droid spinning. No, I'm just kidding. My favorite scene.
Soccer ball droid.
Yeah, was I have a friend who complained about that too, by the way. You can complain about literally anything anymore. That seems like that's the rule of the internet, is that if anything comes out, you can immediately complain.
How is that?
About it.
That is not infeasible. There could just be a magnet inside the ball.
Was not happy with that droid at all.
It's probably going to be the comic relief character, right?
I was most stoked on the X-Wing scene. I really loved that.
Oh, yeah, that looks great.
The four X-Wings over the water, and then the classic cut to the pilot I thought was really awesome. What else was there? We got to see the old Millennium Falcon.
Yes, yep. Falcon. That looked great. And
pretty awesome
some
scene.
Classic TIE fighters too.
Yeah, some classic TIE fighters in that scene as well. Looked really
Which
good.
Which is interesting because don't they take down the Empire at the end?
No, I mean, that stuff is still around. It's
but who's flying the TIE fighters?
But,
well, I mean, the Empire essentially becomes like insurgents, right? Like they just take the other role at that point, don't they?
I mean, basically you kill two main people and blow up a space station, but that doesn't mean that like everyone else just immediately goes on break.
Well, we don't know because all the extended universe stuff is erased. So we don't really know what happened to the Empire at the end of Jedi.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
So apparently they're still around.
Yeah.
We don't know. See, here's the thing is that... you know, J.J. Abrams is really good at fooling us, and he likes to do all these little alternate reality kind of things and have hidden messages inside of his promotional materials, so there's probably something in this trailer already that we don't know, or he's willingly fooling us into thinking something, you know, we're being led to think something that is going to turn out not to be true. And then we'll be surprised, which will be great. I think
it's great. I'm excited. I, like, honestly, you know, it's fine. It's going to be a fun, awesome movie. He's proven, like, granted, I am not a huge Star Trek fan, and I don't think either of those movies were, like, the greatest things ever created, but they were solid action movies.
Highly entertaining.
Like, very entertaining action movies. So for me, I'm like, okay, well, if we compare a new writer with J.J. Abrams and his ability behind the camera, like, I know he got a second pass on the script or whatever, but still, I think it could be a pretty fun time, and the trailer didn't dissuade me in any way. So
I think it's just going to feel so fresh. Like, everything is going to feel sort of new again because it's new people at the helm.
Yeah, exactly. May I recommend, though, while we're on this topic, to go look up two other videos that I sent you guys.
Do.
One is the George Lucas Special Edition Star Wars Force Awakens trailer. And the other one is the Star Wars Force Awakens Lens Flare Special Edition trailer.
Like J.J. Abrams' signature edition.
Oh, my God. Both of them had me, like, on the floor dying. The Lens Flare one, I think, got me more.
Yeah.
Because it's just the amount of lens flares they add in this thing is amazing.
It looks like a Star Trek movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the George Lucas Special Edition, and I won't ruin any of the jokes, for some of the things that they do are pretty spot on and hilarious. I think the Millennium Falcon, like, flying away scene is pretty amazing. That joke that they throw in there. But it's really, really funny. I think that was what, like, the internet hate for the lightsaber or whatever was weird. I liked the talk around it, like, what could it be? Could it be this or that? Like, that's fun to me. The guessing game stuff is, like, cool.
Yeah.
The hate is kind of stupid, but when people do something funny, like, once people show a sense of humor with this, like, kind of taking a dig at the trailer, I think that's awesome. And, like, these two were taking digs at George Lucas and at J.J. Abrams, but I think in a comical enough way that it you know, you get it, and it's funny. It was fun to do. So check those two out. Just Google Star Wars Force Awakens to find that trailer.
Yes. This is critical tips here.
Yeah, it's really hard to find. Yeah. But also, it was Black Friday.
Yes.
The day that comes after the day that people call Black Friday now, right?
Yeah,
that's
weird, right?
Black Friday's at 6 p.m. on Thursday.
The whole thing's kind of diluted at this point. Is that the right word?
I really don't like that.
Yeah.
Do you guys go out on Thursday?
Hell no.
I mean, honestly, I didn't go out at all.
No, me either.
Yeah.
Well, I did once, but I'll explain where I went.
Okay.
But yeah, it really bugs me, the Thursday thing. Like, coming from post-retail working, like, Thanksgiving's the day. Like, that's your day. You get to go see your family and hang out and do whatever. And, like, you're not supposed to be working.
So you don't like it for the ethical reasons.
Well, I mean, I also don't like it because it's just like a fucking shitstorm of people at stores, like, killing each other over getting a $200 TV. And, like, that bothers me in a whole other sense of levels.
Sure.
That I don't want to be there, and another that it just seems like maybe our consumerism's gotten a little overboard in these years, guys. Like,
yeah,
it's a little crazy. But so you guys stayed home. You did the old digital Black Friday?
Yeah. I mean, I'll make it pretty simple. I bought three things, right? I bought Shadows of Mordor. Right, because that was on a gold box deal.
It's like $20, right?
Yeah, 25. It was like 25. And then I got Freedom Cry through Steam because that was like 75% off.
Uh-huh.
And then I got Assassin's Creed Rogue.
Oh,
nice.
So you went all video game, all in on the video
game. Yeah, I mean, like, I bought, like, some pants for work, but that's not interesting. Okay. Yeah,
so four
I'm pretty interested in pants.
Well, yeah. I mean, I really like the pants, but this is not a podcast where we talk about clothes.
Jeans or slacks?
Slacks. How about some
slacks?
Slacks for work.
Three pleats in the front on each side?
No. Flat well, I mean, right? I mean, if I were to dress for the job I want, then that's probably what I should have gotten. But no, I just got regular old pants.
Where'd you get them from?
Armani Exchange.
Ooh, nice. Fancy. Do they have fancy pants on the back?
No, I mean, these are not fancy. They do have fancy pants there, but these are not fancy pants. These are.
Oh, that's nice.
Normal looking dude.
I believe they call it their classic look, right?
They're
nice clothing. They make nice classic look clothes.
Yeah, I mean they also make clothes appropriate for a person of my stature, which is why I prefer to frequent their establishment. Yeah,
Hello.
I prefer the European cut, if you will. Not to get too personal.
Don't they all?
Hey.
Okay.
That's, so what did you guys get?
I'm good on you. What did you do, Ash? Did you get anything? Or did you pull out of the pit long enough to do anything on the computer? Or?
No, I think it might be some Cyber Monday.
Hey, let me ask you a real question real quick. Have you made up any lyrics to the Dragon Age song? I mean, I know that there are
lyrics.
I know, but I don't want to. But have you made up your own yet?
I make up all sorts of songs. Yeah. There's a great like Orlesian tune. I made a song to that. I don't remember how it goes, but you know, they're all in my head at this point. It's all kind of like a spider web of crazy songs.
Yeah. I keep trying to work on lyrics for the main theme. And I usually come up with something different every time we start it. So I want to know, listeners, let me know if you have also made up your own lyrics to this song. Cause I want to hear that.
No, I have not shopped yet. I might do some tonight on what is now Cyber Monday, but I did not. I just hunted for Nug skins all day. That's it.
Nug skins.
Yeah.
Hey, did you guys hear about this deal through Microsoft Music? They were giving away like 100 free albums.
I didn't. No. I'm all in on the Google Music. So
yeah, basically, like if you have a Windows Phone device or Windows 8, you had. They have this app called Music Deals, and if you download this app, it takes you to – it basically just tells you what's on sale at Xbox Music for that week. And they were doing this deal where you could get 100 albums for free. I mean, they were already selected, but they were old albums, new albums, stuff like that. Cool. So
it was kind of fill up your library kind of thing.
Yeah. You know, it was like a couple of – it's, you know, like there was some new pop, but then there was some old stuff like Stone Temple Pilots and like that Third Eye Blind album that everyone had growing up. God, yeah.
Love that thing.
Yeah. Wish you had stepped out from that ledge, my friend.
This is a really musical episode.
All the lies that you've been living in.
Oh, I got a guitar, guys. I got a guitar. Just looked over at it.
That's fun.
Because as we know, for people who've been listening, I chopped off part of my pinky a long time ago. And playing electric guitar, as we learned from when I went back and played with Scott, is very difficult for me and super painful.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I've been wanting to get an old nylon, not an old, but get a nylon string, like classical guitar.
Okay.
To try to see if that can like work my finger back into playing. Because basically what it is I think I have like a bunch of new nerve endings.
Yeah.
And they're just like crazy sensitive. So even like typing for a long time took a lot of kind of like grimacing through typing with my pinky before it didn't hurt that much. And now it doesn't hurt at all. And, so I'm thinking that if I play on the nylon string, which is a little bit more, like, I'm more able to do without dying, essentially.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Maybe I'll retrain my finger. I did not buy pants. I bought shirts. So we make a fancy couple, Scott.
There you go. Fancy pants.
I bought a couple of work shirts from Old Navy because they fit me well.
Yeah, they had everything was like, what, 50% off at Old Navy?
Yeah, it was like 50% plus off or something. Sweet. The guitar was like $50 off with an extra 15% off or something crazy. Like, that's why I got it. It was super cheap. It was like $80.
You sent me photos of Moog products too. I was really
I went to a store. So I did. That's what I was gonna say. I did venture out on Black Friday, but the only two places I went to was a musical instrument store called Main Drag here in Brooklyn. And I was sending Scott pictures of Moogs because they have a big classical synth section and they had a ton of Moog. Keyboards awesome. There. They didn't have your polysynth one, whatever that one's called. I forget.
You mean the one that the anniversary had, like the colorful one?
No. Yours, the
Prodigy.
Prodigy.
Yeah.
No. The Poly.
The Opus.
Opus. Yeah. That's the one. They did have the Prodigy. I sent you it's like $1,500 or something.
Yeah.
And then I went to Rough Trade Records, which is a record store here in Brooklyn, and I bought because Black Friday. I almost forgot, and then I remembered, is also the second record store day. So independent record stores get a bunch of exclusive stuff. And one of the things I missed out on that is nerd appropriate, but I could not get, and you guys should go to Park Ave if you are interested in this, because I think they still have some copies.
Okay.
Is Guardians of the Galaxy put out the mixtape on cassette. Record store day. So you can go pick up a cassette. It looks exactly like the one in the movie. It's got the same songs on it. And it is a real cassette that has all the stuff on it.
It's fantastic.
It's crazy.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. So I actually got that album for free on Google Music. They were giving it away for free. But
nice.
But you can go buy that. And I bought.
Do they give away a digital copy with your cassette?
I'm sure you can get one. I don't know if they do for sure or not. Okay. And then I got Wham last Christmas on vinyl.
Yeah, you did.
They put out a red and green vinyl of Wham's Last Christmas. So that's even a gift for my wife, who I am so confident will not hear this podcast that I can say that out loud now, and she will still be surprised at Christmas.
I saw there was a John Denver in the Muppets Christmas album reissue, but it was a picture disc. Like the album art was on the album, on the record.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was a clear vinyl sleeve too. Like there was no exterior art. It was just like a plastic sleeve.
That's cool.
The record in it. That was cool. Yeah.
And then let's see. I got another gift from Melissa. And then what did I get today? Oh, I got Dragon Age, you jerks.
Whatever. Oh, sweet. Now we can all get damp together.
Damp time.
I knew I was like, somebody's going to put it on sale eventually. I'm like, I'm just going to wait. Yep. If it goes down to $40, I'll buy it. And sure enough, today it was $45 on the old Amazon. I picked it up. It's getting shipped to the house.
You'll be interested to see my damp tips when they come out.
Will I ever.
Yep.
My gosh.
I prefer it dry, but damp is fine.
Well, I mean, that's what it is. You're going to get a few damp tips, and that's it.
If your article is not called Scott's Damp Tips,
please.
I would like at least two people to read it, so I probably won't call it Scott's Damp Tips.
That's how it's going out over Twitter. Sorry.
Oh, no.
Get in on Scott's damp tips.
Womp, womp. Sorry.
So there was one other thing on Black Friday. We'll just mention it really quick because I want to know if you guys think this is funny, ridiculous, or terrible. But Cards Against Humanity put up a deal that said some new bullshit for $6 on Black Friday and sold people literal cow manure. And they're sending it to them for $6 to their house. The only amazing thing I will say about this is they did it with their kind of normal, irreverent self, and there was literally an FAQ on the site that went down what you were buying and had questions like, am I literally buying poop? And the answer was yes. Is there anything other than poop coming with this? No. Am I like, they did tell you over and over again, you are buying shit, real poop from Cards Against Humanity, and it will get mailed to your house. And they were like, there's no way you're canceling your order.
This is kind of in the realm of potato salad for me. You know, it just kind of shows what people will do with their money. And it's one of those things that makes you angry that you didn't think of it yourself. You know, because these guys don't need any more money, right? Let's be honest.
One of the best questions on the FAQ is this even legal? And it's there's only one way to find out.
Well, there you go.
I take it as a very funny statement on Black Friday and what people do on Black Friday and how freaked out everybody gets over these deals and sales, and also a statement on how ridiculous everybody is over Cards Against Humanity, because I think they could literally say anything and people will just purchase it without questioning it.
Yeah.
So.
No, I agree.
It was pretty interesting. But do you guys hate it, love it? Scott, you seem in the middle.
I think it's right now these guys are making money hand over fist, and I think they're the joke, like the way that they gave away, you know, just like crap, like oatmeal and shit. I just think it's, I don't know. It's a joke to me that isn't necessarily a funny joke, but I get how some people find it funny. So whatever. I mean, you know, like giving
congratulations,
your shit,
you got
like,
poop in the mail.
Yeah, here have some Cards Against Humanity shit, buddy. And like, oh yay, you know. Like, I get it, but at the same time, it's like I would never like partake in the joke.
Like, I think it would be funnier if it was fake. Like, if you got all the way through the purchasing thing and then they were just like, we're not going to mail you poop, man. That's literally what the joke is.
Yeah.
And then just, like, not take their money. But I do see the humor in it, I guess, in the same way you're saying that, Ash. But
I guess this is something that you would expect to see, like, on an episode of South Park, but they actually did it, you know?
Right,
so
exactly.
Somehow when it actually happens, maybe it's, to me, not as funny. I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I got you. All right. We did a lot of talking. We're not even to the reviews yet.
Yeah, we're burning the time up.
Cool. We haven't talked. I mean, honestly, we haven't talked in 2 weeks, so.
Yeah. It's been a while.
This is what happens.
Hi, this is David Gator. You're listening to the Rated NA podcast at nerdappropriate.com.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, man.
So I am a big fan of tower defense games, as I think you guys are as well. And we have talked about – I was thinking about this. I think we've talked about both previous Kingdom Rush games on this podcast.
I thought of you as soon as I saw it in the App Store.
Which is – yeah, it's pretty – I think that we've been around for a little while.
We've seen some things.
Three generations of a game now. I think we've done that with a few different games, but
– yeah.
Indeed.
So Kingdom Rush Origins is the new one from Ironhide Studios, and it is kind of the same winning formula that was in both Kingdom Rush and Kingdom Rush Frontiers, I think is the other one.
Mm-hmm, correct.
So this time, though, you play as elves. That's your starting thing, and then you get all these – there's new types of towers, which are still kind of twists on the classics, but there's archers. There's mage – sort of like towers. There's your defenders, your castle, and then your kind of, what do they call him this time? The druid. I think he's a rock druid is what he is, but he basically just throws boulders and does a bunch of splash damage in an area. And the gameplay is pretty similar. So if you've played any of the other Kingdom Rushes, it's a gorgeous game, first of all, on your iPad. So there's kind of no going wrong with all the animations and the characters. But on top of that, it is got to be one of the smoothest, most well-balanced tower defense games that I've played on the platform. I don't know about you guys when you've played – I know you both played the other two, I think, or one of them at least. Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask you what really makes this series for me is the like the interactivity in the environments and then the champs. So are there champions in this game as well?
So this one plays like Frontiers, where you've got a set of champions, and you can buy in-game content, which is the champions. Those are the things you can buy. Beyond that, I don't think there's anything actually to pay money for, real money for.
Right.
So you plop down your $3.99 or whatever it is up front, and you own the game. And the champions you get up front, you unlock as you go. There's three that'll be unlockable. You start off with the archer, and then you unlock a mage, and then I think you unlock a fighter after that.
That's cool.
And then there's a five or six purchasable. Jesus, my brain is just gone. What did you just call them?
Champions. Yeah.
Hello.
To borrow a phrase.
So they each have abilities. You once again can level them up, so they've got their own little skill tree. And then you've also got the skill trees of the actual things that you have, so you can level up your towers, you can level up your special abilities. This time around, the special abilities are lightning, which was a lot like the kind of molten asteroid one that you dropped in Frontiers. Lightning does like a ton of splash damage and will throw down a bunch of lightning bolts in an area. There's a flurry of arrows that you can shoot down on a certain area. And then you have your little minion guys that'll run around with him.
It adds a lot of variety to the game. Like, it, you know, the does. Customization, picking the champion that you want that suits your play style.
And the champion's movable. So, like, you can actually use him as your, like, fighter, you know?
Yeah.
So you set up your towers and, like, let them kind of run themselves. Then you grab your champion and run him around the board and, like, take out guys while you're doing stuff, which is really great. Because
there's a lot of fun. There's a lot of depth to this game as well. Like, a lot of these tower defense games are very, very simple. But this one reminds me a lot of, like, it reminds me of, like, if Blizzard made a touch tower defense game. Like, the animation's super slick. Like, the characters, even though they're very, very small, have a lot of personality. And like, they're really fun. Each one has a really unique play style as well. So
they started doing this new thing on this one in the earlier boards where they roll out static things from the defense. I mean, from the offense against you. But they don't move, and they'll be, like, way far back. So, like, your champion will be on one side of the board. They'll roll up these things that start attacking your guys, and you have to like run out and take out those things before they kill off all your defenses while you're doing stuff. So
sweet.
It's pretty awesome. It's pretty like harried at certain points. There's definitely a lot to do. One of the other new things that I've noticed from Frontiers is you level they unlock things for you a lot faster. So it used to be where, like, one tower would kind of unlock levels at a time. Like, your archer would be unlockable to level 2 and then to level 3, and then you could get the thing. But it wasn't all at the same time. This time, the first 4 matches, all of your towers go up 1 level each time. So, like,
you
can buy the first one, and then you can unlock the second one, then the third, and then the fourth. And then they, 1 at a time, their special abilities for the next 8 rounds. So, you know, the first thing you unlock is the archers, ability to become, they're like mage archers essentially, and their minimum damage undoes like magic armor on the enemy. So like then your mages do more damage to them while they're running.
Oh, cool.
And then they've got special abilities like you can sleep characters or you can sleep enemies and you can do like explosive damage and you unlock those levels as you're fighting too. And then the second thing they unlock is defenders, which is really great. So it's just really, I'm like super happy they put out another one of these. It's one of the best games, I think, period, on the iPad is the Kingdom Rush series. That along with like Telltale and maybe a couple of others. These games are just so replayable and they're so much fun. I can't recommend it enough, but Kingdom Rush Origins is out across the board, so you can get it on Android, you can get it on iOS. I don't know if it's PC, but I know it's those two mobile for sure. And then they're not too expensive. I want to say on Google, I actually bought it on both.
Yeah.
Because I wanted it on my phone.
Devoted.
My phone's big enough I can play it.
Yeah, total devotion.
Yeah, and then the iPad is where it's at. But yeah, go pick it up. I think it's $4.99 on iOS, and I want to say it was $2.99 on Google Play.
Worth it.
And it's absolutely worth it. Like hours and hours of gameplay from this thing. So Kingdom Rush Origins, the third in the series, is out.
Cool.
And it tells the origin story of how Kingdom Rush started. What about you, Scott?
So I had an opportunity to take a look at episode 1 of the new Telltale series, Tales from the Borderlands.
Sweet. I'm excited about this.
Which is a game series about a game, right? So that's kind of weird right off the start. So I wrote an article about this.
Wait, hold on a second. It's a game series about a game. I don't think I quite understand.
Well, I mean, it's basically a game about a game. So like the game already exists. It's not like they're taking a comic book series or a TV show, some other form of media, and giving it sort of the branching narrative treatment, right? This is like...
Just okay.
Borderlands already has a defined set of gameplay. Yeah, so it's weird, right? This is a weird thing.
Okay. So okay, I see what you're saying. Sorry.
So like when you see something like this, you're like, well, what am I going to be doing? Like, you know, I want to fire this weapon now. You know, I want to fire that weapon or like pick up that loot button press. You know, like, but it's not like that. It's like it's Telltale's spin on the Borderlands series, and it's really interesting because you know, Borderlands, like the first game, the narrative was like all right. And then the narrative in the second game was incredible. And there are all these characters that were introduced, really great writing and voice acting and stuff like that. And this kind of like just takes the game in a completely different direction, which I think is very appropriate for this series. So what it does is that it basically tells two stories in this game. So you actually play as two different characters. In this game, you play as Rhys, who is like a Hyperion suit, basically. So the story picks up after the events of Borderlands 2. So Handsome Jack is out of the equation, and basically
that's awesome. That was what I was concerned about. I'm like, I don't want to play like prequel-y crap. Like I kind of want to see, because I was one of those people that really did truly enjoy the Borderlands 2 story and how silly it was. It was this cool like kind of Mad Max-y, you know, adventure story with great, great characters. And I, you know, it does end on a bit of a cliffhanger. So,
yeah. And this game, from what I've seen so far, is basically telling the story of characters who are not necessarily vault hunters, which I think is really interesting because there's this entire world of people that live in these worlds. Right. And they're not all vault hunters. They're just like people that are, you know, have normal jobs and are doing things and they're struggling to get by or whatever. So, in this game, you play as Rhys, who is a Hyperion suit. Basically, everybody at Hyperion is fighting for like political control, you know, to be the next head of the company, you know, to be the next Handsome Jack or whatever. And then you play as another character, Fiona, who is basically a con artist, and she kind of comes from this like humble background and just kind of struggles to get by. And they're sort of like thrown together and, you know, hijinks ensue for lack of a better description. I don't want to give too much away, you know, but
I think, well, this one involves Zero. So there are cameos from Borderlands characters.
Yes.
You get to kind of see what happens to the main Borderlands cast after the second game, which is super cool because they showed Zero in the trailer.
So. Yeah. I mean, plus the episode is called Zero Sum and it's Zero with the zero at the end. Right. So. Yeah.
Do you get any more insight into the character of Zero? Because even after playing through the game, you don't really know too much about him. There's hints,
Yeah,
that
he might
be otherworldly, perhaps.
Yeah, I should say that so far that's not really what this game is about. You know, so this game is more about these two characters, the main characters, right? And sort of this crazy adventure that they embark on. And
whoa.
Sorry. Sorry about that. I just punched the pop filter. Sorry. I get so excited, you know. Just hit things.
It was like percussion on top of your review.
Yeah. Yeah. But at this point everybody's whoa.
Sorry, go ahead.
That's all right. At this point, you know, everyone's probably played at least one episode or one portion of a Telltale game, whether it's The Walking Dead or even something older like Sam and Max or whatever. And I think that they have again found ways to sort of outdo themselves and do things that they're good at, but find new ways to make interactive narratives interesting and compelling and engaging. And I think that's really where this game shines. Something else that's really awesome about this game is the voice cast, and it's huge. And just in episode one, you've got Troy Baker, Laura Bailey, Chris Hardwick, Aaron Yvette, Nolan North, and Patrick Warburton.
Whoa.
Yeah, right? And more. I don't want to give everything away, but that's just some of the voice cast that's in this game. So
Laura Bailey is so good, and she's in everything.
And she plays Fiona, and Troy Baker is Reese. So, you know, if you're a fan of voice acting, like, this will automatically appeal to you. To me, what I find to be particularly interesting, like from my own personal perspective, is that the plot sort of reminds me a lot of the movie A Life Less Ordinary, which is that movie with Ewan McGregor and Cameron Diaz. It's an older Danny Boyle film.
I remember it. Life Less Ordinary. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, in the way that, like, those two people get thrown together, I feel like this is sort of similar in the way that they get thrown together. And I mean, I really love that movie. It's probably, like, one of my favorite movies. So, like, I'm kind of, like, into this story. But, the story is just so good. And they do, I feel like, more in this game than what you can do in a game like The Walking Dead. There are some amazing action sequences in this game. And I know that sounds weird to say that about sort of a game which is based around, like, branching narratives or whatever. But they really pull off some cool, like, moments in this game. Because that's what you come to expect from Borderlands, because it's supposed to be ridiculous and over the top and, like, you know, explosions and crazy characters and stuff like that. And this game definitely has it as well. And the last thing I'll say is that there is some really awesome music in this game, too, from the stuff that is sort of more in your face, like, you know, title music, to things that are just like what is playing in the background when two characters are speaking to one another. Like, there's some really great music in terms of the soundtrack and the score. So I would encourage people to not only pay attention to the excellent story and the voice acting, but also to listen out for the music, especially on the Hyperion bass. Like, some of that music sounds like something you'd hear in, like, Deus Ex or, like, Blade Runner, which is really awesome. So,
wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. And sweet. So
I'm definitely, the Game of Thrones Telltale game comes out, well, when this airs.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. You've got a lot coming up. So right now, this Tales from the Borderlands is slowly making its way to all platforms. I think by the end of the year, it'll reach mobile as well.
Is it awesome? I was going to say. Yeah. I really do enjoy playing them on the iPad. So.
Yeah. I know you're playing Walking Dead right now on iPad. And
Wolf Among Us.
Oh, Wolf Among Us. Yeah. And I still have that to play on Steam, actually. So you've got Tales from the Borderlands. Episode 1 is out right now. And then you've also got the Game of Thrones game, which is actually going to be a 6-part series as opposed to normal 5, which comes out this Tuesday, I think, on PlayStation, Wednesday on Xbox. So awesome. In the meantime, while you're waiting for that, Tales from the Borderlands, Episode 1, Zero Sum, really good. Recommend you play it.
Awesome.
So, Matt, sweet. Amazon Fire Stick. I'm excited for this.
Yeah. So I ordered this when it came out. A little while ago that it was going to happen, and I got the deal. I think it was 19, Scott, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, Amazon Prime members, when it was announced, could buy this item for $20.
$20, yeah. So I went ahead and picked it up and randomly got in the shipping queue at the correct moment and got mine a week ago. So I plugged it in. I've been firing it up on kind of my second TV in my house, which is in the office, mm-hmm. and messing around with it. And So this isn't going to be strictly a Fire Stick review. What I thought I would do, just because we're in that season, we can do this relatively quickly and easily, is talk about what the Fire Stick versus maybe the Chromecast versus like the Roku Stick.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Sure.
Because these items are all – they're all TV streaming devices that you that are basically just HDMI dongles. They all cost around $30 to $40 depending on which one you're buying. And they all are actually pretty different. Comparatively, like depending on what you're looking to get. So I thought I'd run down it real quick. Basically, the Fire Stick is the small HDMI dongle version of the Amazon Fire TV, which came out, I want to say, a year ago now, or no, not that long ago, maybe 6 months to a year ago, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. And you have one, right, Ash?
Yeah, I don't have the stick. I have the old...
You have the TV.
Yeah.
Where you can yell Gary Busey into the microphone, right?
You can.
Yeah.
So the Fire TV, a lot of people were wondering if this is the same thing. It is and it isn't. It is the same software UI, sort of, at the end of the day. There are some tweaks, but it's basically the same software and UI. But the stick is running on, like, I think a dual-core processor, and I want to say the Fire TV is running on a quad-core with more memory on top of that. Okay. So... the kind of gaming part of it, which you can still buy the gaming remote and use it with the Fire TV stick if you wanted, although I will tell you now, the gaming selection on the stick is much, much smaller than the Fire TV. So
sure.
If you were looking to get sort of an Android gaming device out of this at the same time, and that's really what you're looking for, then this discussion is already over for you. You should go get the Fire TV or the Nexus TV streaming thing and not the Fire Stick. The Fire Stick is a much less powerful HDMI dongle, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So if we line up the three devices, we've got a Chromecast, we've got a Roku streaming stick, and we've got the Amazon Fire TV stick. The main differences between the three, I think the main outlier in that set is the Chromecast.
Yeah, I think so too, because you need to have another device, right, to power that.
Yeah, so the Chromecast is a dongle that you cast content to from another device. That device could be an iOS device, an Android device, or your laptop, but there has to be another component there. Now, app-wise, Chromecast has a lot of things. I don't know that the only thing it's missing, it doesn't have Amazon, and I don't think it has any NFL stuff yet. And I think that's about it. So and everything else has kind of come on board with Chromecast at this point. You can pretty much cast, you know, your big ones, your Netflix, your YouTube, your Hulu, HBO, Showtime. All those are available on Chromecast. Most of them are available on Amazon Fire TV Stick. The real winner with choice in apps is Roku, which has almost everything.
Yeah, it's just about.
Borderline ridiculous. Jeez. You can get almost every single app that you want on Roku. Amazon, for the big players, currently is missing HBO Go. They haven't got that down yet. So I don't know.
It's got a lot of the other major ones like Hulu and Netflix and Pandora, stuff like that.
Yeah. It's got Netflix, Hulu, YouTube, Showtime, Pandora, I believe. And all of the real kicker is that it has Amazon's market, and whereas Chromecast has Google's market for obvious reasons. And then the one in the middle is the Roku, which has both. Now, the Roku one is more expensive. It's $50 as compared to the $40 or $35. But there has been deals. If you watch for deals, usually they all lower to around $30 to $40.
Now, how would you one of the reasons why I want the Amazon Fire Stick is that I have to travel occasionally. And I thought it would be cool to carry this around with me to hotel rooms, stuff like that. So do you think it's appropriate for something like that? And then how snappy do you find the interface to be? As compared to something else, I guess. Because, Roku 3, for example, runs like butter. It's real good, real fast.
I have a Roku 2 still, and it runs pretty smooth. Mm-hmm. So I think Roku's gotten better. It really depends on the app, because like Hulu runs like trash. It runs like a tar-filled piece of crap on my Roku 2.
Okay, yeah.
But it also does that on the 360. Like, it's just a terrible app on those two platforms. Runs great on an Xbox One. It's however they programmed it is just not optimal, I guess. On the Fire TV stick, I will say it's pretty snappy. Like, the UI is, if you like Amazon's sort of card UI, where not card, but like, it's very boxy. Everything's like a little square that you're selecting from.
Yeah.
If you enjoy that UI, that's what it's all over the Fire Stick. And it works, you know. The only thing I would dissuade against your specific scenario with the Fire Stick versus the Chromecast, what the Chromecast really excels at is setup, is like the smoothest, quickest thing I've ever done. Chromecast is it's mind blowing how fast you can get set up and running on a Chromecast because there's very there's no UI essentially, and because all it is a Wi-Fi streaming dongle. Basically, you connect your phone to it, the phone sets it up on its Wi-Fi, and then you're up and running. You just open up the app you already have on your phone, and you get going.
Oh, that makes sense. I see what you're saying.
The okay. Fire TV Stick, on the other hand, the Wi-Fi switching and the Wi-Fi setup is more akin to what I would compare like the Roku or an Xbox to. There's menus you've got to go through. It actually had me connect to my Wi-Fi and did like an update, then had me reconnect to my Wi-Fi, and did an update and had me reconnect to my Wi-Fi a third time.
Yikes.
Like typing in my password each time.
Jeez.
With a remote,
Yeah, so, you know, maybe those were like patch bugs that were going on, but a little bit clunky in that respect.
But makes sense.
I will say, once it was up and running, using getting apps downloaded and installed, brilliantly easy, really not a big problem at all. Stuff was featured really well. It's Amazon, so my account was already hooked up right when I turned it on. It was like, do you want to keep using your account, Matt? And I was like, oh yeah, I do. And it was like, okay, here you go. Suggestions were ready to go. So the Fire Stick, the other thing it lacks is the voice search on the remote for the Fire TV. Doesn't have it on the Fire Stick remote. So it's more like a Roku remote. It actually looks borderline exactly like take the purple away and it's basically a Roku remote.
Yeah, that's fine.
So you lose that. But there's a companion app on Android, I think, right now and coming to iOS where you do get voice search through the companion app. And it's basically just a remote app like the Roku has. Where you can swipe to move around the screen and stuff. It's a little finagly, like you'll do something and you're like, meh, like it doesn't always move exactly how you expect it to move, but that's kind of the nature of trying to control things from a Wi-Fi connected phone to a device.
Yeah, there's one for the Roku as well, and I would not recommend it.
Yeah, it basically works exactly like the Roku. So I guess like to break it down at the very end, I would say power-wise, I would lean towards the Fire TV Stick. I think it's a little bit newer. It's got a little bit newer hardware in it right now until Roku does a refresh, which I think they will soon if they didn't already for the streaming stick. App selection wise, it's got to go to Roku.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're just comparing these two right now, because I'm gonna cap it off with Chromecast in a second. But app selection wise, Roku wins. There's way more apps. I will say finding apps on the Roku is not as easy as on Amazon. Roku kind of buries their stuff in channels, and sometimes it's really weird how they feature things and where stuff shows up. And like, you know, if a new channel comes up, you kind of have to dig to find it a lot of times. Amazon's very good at surfacing stuff and kind of already knows what you want. And it seems like they're using your account info to like let you know where things are. Like it was like, you clearly want Netflix.
Yeah.
And here's the Disney app. And here's
machine learning, y'all.
Yeah. So Amazon stuff like that, it works very well. But it does lack a couple of the apps. So if you absolutely need HBO Go, which a lot of people do, it's not on Amazon Fire TV, hasn't been announced as coming to Fire TV. I have no idea if it's going to come to Fire TV when and ever, you know. I assume it will at some point. I can't imagine they're going to ignore this platform forever, but it's just not there yet. So if you need that, then Roku's the answer or Chromecast is the answer. But app selection is Roku. Power is Amazon. If you are interested in gaming at all, the Fire TV Stick does have some Android games. They're kind of like the lower level games, but they're there. You can take a peek at them in the Amazon App Store market, like now online. You can see what they have and kind of go through there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the real kicker to me is, are you an Amazon customer? Do you buy video content through Amazon? Do you buy through Amazon Music? Do you have an Amazon Music library already put together? If so, get the Fire TV Stick. It works really well, and all your stuff is there, and it's available. It's very quick. It's very easy to get into. So it works well. It's good. I still love the Chromecast, man. I know it's getting a little outdated on hardware-wise, but it's just so stupid simple, and it's so easy to use. I still lean towards the Chromecast. So
there you go.
If you're going to throw down $25, I say get a Chromecast. If you want to throw down a little bit more, I would probably lean towards the Amazon Fire TV Stick. And if for some reason you just really love Roku and you've like already hacked your, because you can have like an account with your apps and all that stuff in Roku, then maybe stick with the Roku platform. They definitely have all of the apps at this point. I just think that their UI is getting a little outdated, and I think that their power is usually a little underneath. Their stuff doesn't seem to last quite as long as the other stuff. But
yeah, I tend to agree with you.
But Chromecast is the easiest. It just lacks any Amazon stuff at all. So if you need Amazon stuff, then go with Amazon Fire Stick. If you don't care, go with the Chromecast. It's stupid easy, works with all platforms, and has all the apps that you probably want. So that's my opinion.
Good Christmas tips.
That's a Christmas tip for you.
Yeah. Go with Scott's damp tips.
Are Christmas Matt's tips Christmas frosted? Tips.
They could be.
Frosted tips.
Yeah.
Especially if they're damp.
Okay.
Smell like ginger.
Ew. Whoa.
Okay.
You know, you never know. But yeah, not a bad buy. If you already purchased one, I think you're going to really enjoy it. And Scott, like, I think it is good to like toss in a bag and take to hotel. I just think that there's a little bit of setup to get up on Wi-Fi. Maybe if you like had a puck or something you were going to run it off of and you set it up before you left.
Oh, good to know.
But there you go.
All right.
Coolio. Are we done, gents?
Yeah, we did.
I think so.
All right.
I think we squeaked in at an hour and a half, too.
Yeah, we always do.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to episode 180 of the Rated NA podcast. We'll be back next week with perhaps a special episode, we'll see.
Let us hope.
So, you can reach us all by email, and that is Matt, Scott, and Ash at nerdappropriate.com. You can follow us on Twitter, and that's at nerdappropriate. We love you guys there, so thank you. And we have a Facebook account, and that is /nerdappropriate on Facebook. And we'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Do I sound super nasally? I've been allergy.
You sound a little nasally.
Maybe beer will get rid of it.
Maybe. Maybe doing this podcast will get Ariana Grande songs out of my head.
Oh, boy.
You never know. Anything is possible.
I don't know. I don't know that I can name an Ariana.
Nickelodeon
girl?
Oh, boy.
This is the part where I say I don't want you.
Are you doing Ariana Grande again?
I told you. It's like an earworm, dude.
All right.
This is the part when I break free.
What is happening?
Sorry.
Okay. Are we ready?
Yeah. I'm trying to just get it all out.
Okay.
It's like he's getting possessed by,
I don't know
by a
that.
Disney child or something. I don't know.
Oh, boy. The See, free, I told you.
Free.
See what I did?
I don't know what song that is.
Oh, boy.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
For sure?
Yes.
We're starting now.